Thank you, Pastor Portman. Praise the Lord, everyone. Our God's an awesome God, isn't he? Lord, there is none but you. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Lord, we magnify and glorify your name afresh. What an honor it is to be your sons and daughters in this day, and for this we give you glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hi, my name's Jim. You're supposed to say hi, Jim. You beat me to the punch. The precious lady that was at the door tonight, it was such a treat. As I was coming in, she says, "I forgot your name, but you're a worshiper." So, can't remember your name, but I remember we worship. And wow, what a testimony about Racine Church, as you all are a worshiping church. And for that, we give God the glory and the honor. Sherry and I are so blessed to be here today and looking forward to next week as well. What a treat for us. Amen. Amen. I'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I am amazed with the opportunity to pray, aren't you? Because in prayer, God says, "I want you to get in on my work." He spoke to Job so many years ago, and he says, "Where were you when I was making the beasts in the ocean? And where were you when I was making birds that could fly? Where were you when I was creating the big beasts of the field?" And with each of those questions, Job says, "Oops, oops, oops, who was I to open my mouth to you?" But this evening, he invites us through prayer to say, "I'm transforming all things. You want to get in on that? Just become a people of prayer." Amen. In this congregation, on Saturdays, I've been here before on Saturdays, and I'm trusting the Saturday thing's still going on. Y'all are a praying folk. The princess and I were a little late getting from the previous thing, threw something to munch on to here, so we missed most of the prayer before church, but y'all are a praying church. And prayer is God saying, "I'm doing amazing things, making all things new, and if you just take the time to call on my name, I'll let you be a part of what I'm doing. You weren't here when I made the elephant, but you're here when I'm making the world brand new. You weren't here when I was making the whale, but you're here when I'm healing the nations. You weren't here when I was creating the albatross, but you are here when I'm making alcoholics brand new and fresh and taking away drug addictions and putting families back together again." Oh my goodness, what a great thing it is to be a part of God's amazing work in the world today. And as Pastor Portman mentioned, be speaking this evening related to your capital campaign. Fun title of my message this evening is "God Gives the Seed and the Harvest." What a deal. It's kind of like when Father's Day, when my four children were small. "Oh, Papa, look what we got you for Father's Day." In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, "I paid for that." That was only on the back of my mind. On the front of my mind is, look at that smile. I couldn't pay for that. Look at the love of that child. There's no way I earned that. This evening, what a delight to know he gives us both the seed and the harvest. As a matter of fact, one of the passages we're going to read here in a moment, he gives us the seed and the bread to eat while we're sowing the seed and the harvest. You see, he's got it all under control. I don't know why he invites you and me to be a part of this thing, but wow, you and I get ground floor opportunity in the kingdom reclamation of all things. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll start with reading the first five verses and we'll pick up as we go throughout the evening. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is, oh, I love this word, superfluous. I really don't need to mention it, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's what he's saying. I really don't need to write this to you, for I know the forwardness, your forward thinking, your readiness. I know your readiness of your mind. I know what your mind is tuned on, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your soul has provoked very many. You're a provocative church. Now, many people hear that word and they think provocative meaning negative things, right? Wow, that was a provocative news ad. That was a provocative this or that. No, we, according to the book of Hebrews, when we join together, we get to provoke one another to good works. We're a provocative church. We're provoking goodness and grace. We're provoking blessings and lives around us, not just within the congregation here, but to other congregations, as Paul mentions in this passage. You have, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Third time to use the word readiness. Least happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make you beforehand your bounty, whereof you had notice before, that the same might be ready. There it is, that readiness. A matter of bounty and not of covetousness. Lord, we thank you for your abundant goodness and the invite to be a part of your kingdom reclamation work. We who are so small, we who were once aliens from the family of faith, and we who were once a people with no mercy have been made family and have felt mercy in this night. Not only do you bring us near, but you invite us to partner with your kingdom work in this hour. And for this, we give you glory and honor and thanks in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thanks again for the invite to be here. Sherry and I are always jazzed to be in Racine. We kind of count ourselves as adjunct family members here. Okay? So we are those weird cousins that come by two or three times a year, but you don't have a choice in the matter. So this week and next week is your weird cousin hit, and then things will get back to normal. So thank you so much for all of your kindness along the way. When we come to worship, it's an amazing thing. In 1 Kings chapter number 7, there's the story of Solomon sending off and getting Hiram to come in to be part of the architect and the builder of the temple, the place where folks are going to come to bring their sacrifices, to bring their offerings to the Lord. Some of those offerings were called whole burnt offerings. That means you took almost everything of the cow. Not the hide, not some of the guts, and not the hooves, but most of the cow you would pile it on the altar. And if you ever wondered why they pulled off the fat and offered that separately, it's for two reasons. The blood and the fat belongs to God. The special things belong to God. And secondly, when the fat drips down in the fire, anybody that knows any grilling knows what happens. When the fat drips into the fire, it helps the whole thing burn. So this whole burnt offering was a lifting up of the whole person and their sacrifice to the Lord. When you come into worship, the setting, the atmosphere helps trigger some symbols. This building is such a beautiful place. The first time I saw it over 10 years ago, I remarked how beautiful it was, and that was even before the stained glass windows were installed. It was right after the dedication. And seeing the beauty that's here, the banners that are behind me and the banners that are in the foyer and the key ring on the truss beam. Yeah, there we go. That's over there. All of these things are markers as we come to worship. as well as each other. Well, Hiram, as he started to build, and he's putting in these big pillars, and it's called chapters that he put on top of them. I don't know that Solomon gave him specific directions. He said, just make it look good. So Hiram starts casting all of this brass, and what he would do on each of them is he would put a lion, and he would put an ox, and then he would put cherubims. On the same plane, on the same level, seen lions, seen ox. I've seen lion, I've seen ox. Other than my wife, I haven't seen any angels. Thank you. I've seen lions, and I've seen oxen. I don't think I've seen angels. Oftentimes we talk about being a physical plane and then going into a higher plane of the spirit. I think Hiram was on to something. He said, God is at work among you. And that's why we're building a temple, because God wants to dwell with you. And for us in the New Testament church, he's not just with us, but ever since the veil was ripped in the day of Pentecost, he was once with folk, but now he is in us. Hiram was saying, let's not think of the spirit world as another plane. Let's see God's nearness as a breaking in to this plane. It's not just the things which we see are made by him, but the things which we don't see, we anticipate them. So as the worshiper would come with that whole burnt offering, the whole thing would get sent up in smoke into the heavens. Not to appease God or to make God do something, but to form a basis of relationship. Second kind of offering was a meal offering, giving grain to God. The third kind was called, some translations call it a peace offering, and the other translations call it a fellowship dinner. In other words, when you brought that offering, you would throw some of it on the altar of fire, and then you would sit down and have a barbecue yourself. And you would invite some other folks to join in the dinner. That offering was made because we were completely given to God. Now we get something to feast with God. A sense that God is with us in this fellowship dinner and will invite the stranger. As we think about the capital campaign and as we think about this passage from 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, we want to see that God is not in a separate reality. God is not alternate reality. We need to be a people of faith that when you go to work, you know that God is with you and in you. You need to be a people of faith when you drop your kids off at school or you go to school. You know that our children and we, when we go to school, God is at work in those folks. It's not just there to learn, but they are there to be light in the world today. Your neighborhood is an embassy of the King. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 lets us know you are ambassadors for Christ. Now, how many of you rode in a limousine to church tonight? No, some of us have bicycle ambassador rigs, you know, with the big flags on the handlebars. Maybe did anybody have those streamers on your bicycle, you know, as children? What we did is we'd take the baseball cards and would clip them on the front fork so as the tires spun, click, 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 drive mothers insane. That's what that was for. Some of us are ambassadors for Christ and we ride bicycles. We are going with a declaration. We are here on the King's mission. You may not understand, but I understand the one who has sent me that I can be light and salt in the world today. He is transforming all things and he lets us be a part of it. As we walk our way through this passage, this is about Paul collecting an offering to take back to the Jerusalem church, the original context, to go back to the Jerusalem church. So he's collected some resources from Macedonia. Now, the Macedonian church was an extremely impoverished church. But when they saw the offerings and heard of the offerings of the Corinthian church from past offerings, the Macedonian church, they just said, man, if God is blessing the Corinthian church that way, we want to be a part of that blessing. So Paul is gathering these offerings from the churches and taking them to Jerusalem for a special need that's there. So in chapter 9 is his capital campaign for the Corinthian church. And if it was a good for them, I think it just might be halfway decent for us today as well. So it starts off, this capital campaign in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 is a little bit of history. A little bit of history. Paul says, you all been faithful. You all been faithful. When I think of Racine, I think of a faithful people. I think of a dedicated and committed people who seek out God's purposes and design. I remember the quizzing trophies in the back, and I think about your children's ministry and the things that you do to expand for all ages. I think of selflessness from years gone by, 40 years or whatever that number was. I remembered it back in February when I was here, but I don't right now. Excuse my bad memory. But this congregation is known as a faithful people. Faithful not only in ministry, but faithful in the doctrine and faithful in holiness and faithful in a commitment to an almighty God. I need you to know that when Jesus thinks about you, when Jesus thinks about you, he smiles and rejoices. Maybe a little bit challenged to think of God getting excited about you. We get excited about him, but when he sees your faithfulness. If we had time this evening, we could talk about testimonies of your faithfulness in good times and in challenging times. This church has been faithful even personally to me in my season of sickness. Hard to believe, but it's been 10 years ago now, Brother Schumacher, that the first time after my illness, this congregation said, you know, Jim, we want you to come and talk about God's goodness. Some of you were here. I had an eye patch on at the time, looking very matey, you know, kind of thing. This church is faithful, and your faithfulness is known in many, many places. Your parallels here are just amazing. And Paul goes on and says, you've been ready. Your readiness has been seen by others. This planning for the long term. Unfortunately, we live in a world today that doesn't plan long term. It just plans for what's right in front of us. Racine congregation, you've been known as a ready long term congregation. You have been ready because you've been so blessed by Jesus. And since you've been blessed by him, you joyfully say, we want to serve you with everything we've got. As your pastor preached this morning, it all belongs to him anyway. Kind of like my kids giving me a gift on Father's Day. We give to him because he has been so good to us. How much does remission of my sin going to cost me? How could I buy his love and his mercy? How could I buy a family that cares for me literally as well as spiritually? It is impossible. And then to go beyond that, how could I lay up treasures in heaven when the wages of my sin is death? I've heard people say before in an angry moment, how come God isn't giving me what I deserve? And I tell them, if you're going to start praying like that, please give me a warning. I'm going to be hitchhiking away from there as fast as I can. Because if you get what you deserve, you're a greasy spot. Okay, volcanoes are going to be erupting and raining down on you. You are finished, Bubba. On the other hand, God so loved the world. He loved the world. He didn't send God number two or three. He didn't send an angel. He didn't even send tablets of stone through the hand of a righteous man, Moses. Instead, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. He himself became flesh and came among us and gave his life that you and I could live. You all are a faithful congregation because God has been so good to you, and you celebrate that. You celebrate God's goodness in song. You celebrate it in prayer. You celebrate it in these facilities. You celebrate it in the many ministries that you have, your building, your support of missionaries, and your support of the children, the youth, and all the various things that you that you do throughout the year, you have stayed a ready church. A ready church. Now, Paul is asking them to be ready to build on yesterday's strengths for God's next mission. Brother Schumacher, how many miracles have been done in this building already? How many have come to this altar in time of need and prayed over you, and you not only felt the touch of an amazing God right here, but the Lord transformed your life? How many came without hope, but He brought you hope? How many came with no view of tomorrow, but He says, I have you in my hand. God is forever faithful. How about we just praise Him right now for His faithfulness? Lord, we thank You. You are faithful. You're an amazing God, a glorious Redeemer. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Capital Campaign from Corinthians chapter 9 is building on yesterday's strength for God's next mission. Whatever you decide to put on that card on next Sunday, it's building on the strengths of yesterday, preparing for tomorrow. You see, God has a big plan in place. Pastor Portman only knows a little piece of it. But God has an amazing thing in place. I wonder this evening if we could get just a little bit curious about what God wants to do. Can we at least be like Moses when the bush began to burn, that we could get curious enough to stand near and to see what that burning bush was all about? I'm wondering in this campaign season that's stretching over for the next few years, I wonder if there could begin to have a flame of curiosity in our spirit. I wonder what God's up to, and I wonder what it would be like to get in on the plan that God has for tomorrow. Think back 3 years. Think back pre-COVID. You would never imagine the things that have happened in the last 3 years. You and I don't know what's coming down the line politically, economically, socially. We don't know what's happening with global wars and those kinds of things. But we do know this thing. Our God is in control. And what He has started, I said what God started, He's bringing it to pass. He is the author. And He's the finisher of it all. He's my Alpha, and He's the Omega of it all. He who began a good work in you is going to bring it to pass. God is just started for what He wants to do. Lord, we're excited about Your plans for tomorrow. We're excited about Your plans for the remainder of 23 and going into 24. We anticipate more baptism. We anticipate more Bible studies being taught. We anticipate the outpouring of Your Holy Spirit. We anticipate communities around that haven't yet got a witness. You got a plan in place, oh Lord. And You're inviting us to be a part of it. Building on the strength of yesterday, preparing for tomorrow. Preparing for tomorrow. The message this morning that I preached in Brother Rogers' church, Don Rogers' church, I was looking at Solomon's invitation, 1 Kings chapter number 3. Solomon's invitation to ask for wisdom. It was in a dream. It wasn't his. It was in a dream. God told him what to ask for in the dream. His father speaks of faithfulness and righteousness and a pure heart. That was his father's gifting, the needs for the time. But he told Solomon, it's time for you to ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom, understanding in your mind, so that you can lead these great people, discerning right from wrong. Solomon needed a different blessing than what his daddy had. Solomon was facing a new challenge than what his daddy was facing. Racine Church, God has things in store for the tomorrows. We are thankful for the blessings of the yesterday, because the yesterday got us to the place where we can dream about the blessings of tomorrow. Our God's a faithful God, and there are waves after waves of blessings which come our way. Unlike Solomon, we will not leave the blessings of yesterday behind as we move into the blessings of tomorrow. Solomon got an understanding mind, but he forgot to have a heart that was tuned towards God. He was wrong. My statement was right. Thank you. Yes. Okay. I'm just clarifying there, just in case anyone was confused. We find out by chapter 11 in 1 Kings that Solomon had let his heart be turned. He didn't protect his heart while he was asking for a protected mind. David had handed him a prepared heart, heart after God. Solomon says, God has asked me to ask for an understanding mind moving forward. Don't forget the protected heart that you received from the past generation. You need new blessings for what God needs you to do next, Solomon. But don't you dare leave behind the blessings that were in the yesterday. Church, as you're moving into the next wave of blessings from an almighty God, it's going to build on the blessings from yesterday. We're preparing to go forward because God has already started an amazing work in us. As we move into verse number 6, we're going to get the key point of all of this. And this I say, he which, another translation says, this is the key point. This is what I'm talking about. But this I say, here's my key point, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, his decision-making process, those kinds of things. Let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, that is, by manipulation or requirement to do so, for God loves a cheerful giver. As we explore this financial campaign that Paul gave to the church at Corinth, the recognition that if you want a big harvest, you got to put some seed in the ground. Just because a farmer owns 500 fields of, what is it, cabbage? Is that what they grow around here? Got 500 acres that could produce cabbage unless he puts a bunch of cabbage seeds in the ground. The acreage is wasted. Matter of fact, we got some folks that want to rent several acres, not 500, 40 acres or so of Sherry and I own in Missouri, and he wants to lease it for 3 years instead of just 1 year at a time to make hay off of the field for his cattle beef farm. He says, I want to lease it for 3 years because I want to put some lime into the soil, and I want to put some more fertilizers into the soil. I'm going to put some stuff into the soil so we get a bigger harvest. This is a law of sowing and reaping. And if our world understands it, the church ought to understand it even more so. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it can't bear much fruit. When you think of how many kernels of corn there are on one stalk, it's absolutely astounding that one little seed into the ground produces so much. And especially if you think of it generational after generational after generational. This amazing God. Paul says, here's the central point. We're taking up this year-long offering, and in the case here at Apostolic Faith Church, it's a three-year offering. We're doing this because we want to chuck some resources into the ground. Why? Because we anticipate a great big harvest. Harvest season isn't over, folks. I believe in the last day, as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, there's going to be a great influx of folk. I believe there are some backsliders that the Lord is going to call home and bring back to the house of God because this is where hope is and this is where peace is. Some of them went because they wanted freedom. They wanted to do their own thing and they wanted to pursue their own desires. But you'll find out that sin always takes you further than you had in mind, and they need a place to come home. As the father stood on the porch waiting for the prodigal to return, there was a home base to come back to. Brothers and sisters, we're putting seed in the ground because we have unsaved loved ones. We have black backsliders that need to be in the house tonight. I imagine there are some who used to be Sunday school teachers that have backslid. Used to be leaders in various departments of the church that have walked away. Or some who were amazing prayer folks, prayer warrior folks. Those folks are needed as laborers in the kingdom. They got to have a place to come home to. There has to be a sowing of the seed for the return. Here's the central point. It's the law of sowing and reaping. The sowing sets the relationship for the harvest that is coming. This is how I started the introduction. It amazes me that God invites us into kingdom-shaped harvest. It amazes me that He's making all things brand new, and He asks us to get in on it. Even as He taught them to pray in Matthew chapter number 6, pray this way, Our Father which art in heaven. What's the first prayer request in that passage? Make your name holy. Make your name holy. Now, think about that one for just a little bit. If calling Him Father didn't blow out the diodes in your brain, then how much more thinking that you and I in our prayer can make God holier than what God already is? By definition, He's the holiest of the holiest of the holiest. The angels don't have much to say except, dude, He's holy, He's holy, He's holy. You're talking about your God. Angels, what are you going to call Him? Holy, holy, holy. That's all we can say. But now Jesus says you all get to increase the holiness of God through your prayer life. Your prayer life gets to demonstrate to a world that our God is holy and He is near. Why? Because we have known Him for ourselves. We have understood Him for ourselves. We have tasted and we have found our God is good and He reigns. As a matter of fact, even when you go through a trial like Job did, at the end you'll say something like, what I knew about God before was just a rumor. Just a rumor. Just a rumor. Princess and I, we've been married 43 years. In February it'll be 44. I think we were espoused in the womb. It's impossible to be old enough to be married that long. How much I felt for Sherry 43 years ago, as the heart would go thump, 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 just. She was in Arkansas. I was in New York. Long distance calls in those days really cost you something. Anybody remember? Back when your phone was hooked to the wall, so you called after 11 o'clock at night, so it was cheaper. Other old people, yeah. Oh, just to be on the phone line with her. And after a while, words were gone, but we're both breathing on the same phone line. Oh, baby. However much I thought I loved her 43 years ago, nothing to compare to what she means to me tonight. How much more so? How much did you love Jesus when you went down in His name? Can anybody testify the day you were baptized was a special day? Can you testify when your sins were washed away? Can anybody like me remember coming out of the water and you felt so light? It was like you were just going to blow right through the ceiling of the place. And I had previously been a wicked six-year-old. I mean, coveting my neighbor's pencils like crazy. I've graduated a little bit now. I covet their fountain pens. But such a covetous spirit, the wickedness of a six-year-old, so selfish and all. But God's grace was there. Even as a six-year-old, there was a sense of this day is a change day in my life. However much I felt for Him then, or when I was 15 or 21, that today I can tell you my God has always been good to me. Can I get a witness in the house? Your God's an awesome God. Your God, He reigns. And we can say, oh Lord, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, tonight at Apostolic Faith Church, we declare your name to be holy. And our lives demonstrate your holiness. And our lives demonstrate your honor. And our lives demonstrate your majesty, O Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Almost a command, isn't it? Get your kingdom at work down here, O Lord. It's already finished there. It's starting in us and exploding around the world. This beginning of the harvest that we put in the ground, we want to put more of it. It's out of a desire of the heart, not out of reluctance. Oh, no, I have to give. I get to get in on what God wants to do. That little lady, all she had. Some people say, well, Jesus doesn't count offerings. Yeah, he did. He stood right there by the offering plate, didn't he? And the little lady put in, Scripture says, out of her living, right? She put in the price of her bread for the next day, because there was something when she stepped in to the presence of an almighty God and saw the lion and the ox and the cherubim, she had to say something like, God is here right now and he's been good to me. Well, lady, you're flat broke. How can you say God's been good to you? You don't understand. He's been with me every day. You don't understand. He gives me hope for tomorrow. You don't understand. Scriptures in my family and my life has demonstrated that the Messiah is on the way. You don't understand, my Yahweh. He is my everything to me. She put in the two coins. The rich folks, they just pulled out their whole purse and tossed it in. But because they weren't giving out of a freedom, desire of their spirit, they were doing it to earn status, they were doing it out of obligation, they were doing it to purchase something from God instead of out of a desire. Oh, I want to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, all that's within me. I noticed this evening that still have some of the COVID protocols in place, as many churches do, that offering plates are in the back and you give there. And many churches give digitally. Do we have any digital givers in the house? Got a few digital givers in the house. It makes it convenient and easy. This is for the digital givers right now, okay? The rest of you can think about your shopping list for a few minutes. But this is for all the digital givers. Would you please put away in your family, whenever you set that digital giving in place, that it's a reminder this is an act of worship. Giving to the Lord through electronic transfer is not the same as paying my electric bill. My electric bill I gotta pay, or I get to walk around in the dark. My water bill I gotta pay, or I have a different kind of running water from the lake to my house. The gas bill I gotta pay, or we're not cooking anything and we have no hot water. My taxes I gotta pay, or I'll be living on all of those things I must do. So the digital givers, would you put some system in your life so that making sure it's not just an automatic thing that I'm giving. This is my delight to give unto the Lord. If you've got children, it'd be a good thing to bring them up to the table before you hit the send button. Say, baby, you know, why don't you hit it for me this time? Because right now, with that button, you just sent $100 for the kingdom. With that button, you just paid the tithe. Invite your children to be a part of that worship moment. So I'm good with all the digital giving, but make sure you don't forget, I do this because I want to worship him. I have no obligation. I have no requirement. I come joyfully and cheerfully giving of the abundance with which he has given me. Amen. So that was all the digital folks. The rest of you can get off your shopping list and get back in the sermon with me. You're giving not out of reluctance. You're not giving out of false manipulation, some kind of compulsion. Certainly not giving out of competition. There may be someone in the house tonight that could, our church is also in the middle of a capital campaign. Staff, the other day we got a text from pastor, said someone let us know that on Wednesday they'll be bringing a $50,000 check for the capital campaign. I don't know who it is. There are others, like a little boy, when he heard of the capital campaign, first thing he did is he ran to his bedroom and grabbed his bank and opened it up on the table and shook it all out. He says, Grandpa, that's what I'm going to give. All of it is in there. And so that Sunday, our first day of our capital campaign, has been going 3 weeks now. There was his offering, $6.53. That was the extent of his savings, and he did it joyfully unto the Lord. I don't know what happened since that week till now, but all of a sudden now, he's already given $75 more. I don't know if he figured out how to embezzle from some bank account, someplace. I think what happened is some folks found those $50 and gave it to him, and he turned around and said, "Whoa! I thought I had nothing to give, but you can't outgive. You can't outgive God." And this little boy is leading our congregation in giving. He's leading the congregation in giving. Somebody else gave a $50,000 check. This little boy gave $6.50 some. The little boy gave everything that he had. Two boys, you remember, who brought, the little boy brought two loaves and a little bit of fish, and God used that to feed the multitude. We're not doing the giving because we must. Our false motivations of being manipulated. Pastor's not manipulating. Hopefully you're not hearing me manipulate. Hopefully there's no competition in place. Hopefully there's not a feeling of, if I don't do this, then my salvation is at risk. Brothers and sisters, if he loved you while you were a sinner, how much more he loves you now that you are his sons and daughters. This isn't to keep your salvation intact. That's already taken care of by the blood of Calvary. So we're getting all those motivators off the table so that verse number 7 can be true in all of us. We're giving because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. What a delight to know that we get to give in that way. Verse number 8 talks about the grace that at work. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, with all sufficiency and all things, may abound to every good work. Notice all of the alls in this verse. There are 4 of them. All grace abounds, and it results through all of your sufficiency. God's going to meet your needs according to his riches and glory. All grace meeting your needs. All grace in all things. All grace at all times. Why? So that you can do a blessed work. See, the outcome of this capital campaign isn't for us. We are not the end user. We're merely a pipeline of grace. We are merely a pipeline of grace. We're saying, Lord, our community needs a work of your purposes in this place. You say, Brother Littles, there is an equation. Is there an equation that if I give $1,000, that equals 1.3 souls? There is no equation. It's just that God is inviting us to give because he have a harvest in mind. Oh, wouldn't it be what a wonderful thing if the Lord would pull back scales from our eyes tonight and we could see the consequences 5 years out should he tarry, of the blessings of an almighty God. We give, he's given to us, and now we joyfully give, and not only the financial giving works, but our other giving ministries, as you care for the elders, or you care for children, or you care for the disabled or the sick, you care for those that are in the prison, as this church has many, 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 many years running, care for those that are in prison. There's some connection, Paul says, if we give of our resources, our other ministries receive gracious gifts begin to flow through us in such a powerful way. I want to be a part of what God is doing in the world today. Tabitha, of course, her ministry was one stitch at a time ministry. One stitch at a time ministry, just making one stitch at a time on those garments. But the day she passed away was unbearable by the congregation. She had given so much of her life, including the finances for all of those garments, but it opened up grace to flow through Tabitha or Dorcas into the whole community, and they became carrying those garments and say, look what God has done through Tabitha. We can't live without her. All she knew she was doing was just one stitch. Sister, brother, young person, I need you to let you know, no matter what you're doing for Jesus, even if it's small as one stitch, do it as unto the Lord, and lives will be transformed by what you're doing. I don't know who's on the carpet sweeping routine. I don't know who's getting their truck ready to plow the parking lot here in a couple of months. Sorry about that. Person from Texas should not remind you of snow coming here, okay? I don't know who it is that goes in the restroom and empties out the paper towel that I threw in there earlier and cleans it up and it looks so wonderfully as it always does. I don't know who's got the responsibility, the next women's ministry, I don't know who that is. But here's what we've decided a long time ago. It doesn't matter who does it. What matters is that he gets the glory and he is worshiped and that he is magnified. Oh, we are all gifted to do God's work together. And when we labor together, each part supplying what it is, God gets the increase. Here's how it works. Part number three of the message, and I'm trying to move on here. Starting at verse number 10, this is how all this works, Paul says. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but in abundance also by many thanksgiving unto God. Can you get the picture? God says, I give you the seed, and then I multiply the seed. And I give you bread so that you can do the work that I've called you to do. And then I make the harvest, pow, it goes crazy. There's a story in the Old Testament that this it triggers in my mind. There's the story of Isaac. You know that Isaac's main job was chasing sheep, right? Isaac's job was chasing sheep. So one day there is a famine in the land and he's getting ready to take all of his sheep to Egypt to get some water and food for the sheep. And God says, not so fast. I need you to stay right here to witness what I want to do through you. And the scripture says, in the year of the famine, Isaac sowed seed and got a 100-fold blessing. Now, whoa. Just a minute. There's not enough water to drink. You must be one dumb farmer. No wonder you're a shepherd instead of a farmer. You don't put seed in the ground when there's no hope for rain. You're throwing away reproduction for the future. Save your seed. Because there's going to come a day when the famine is over, when the rain begins to fall. And when it does, that's when you put the seed in the ground. No, Isaac said, well, God's told me to plant the wheat. I don't know much about this anyway, so I might as well do it. Starts putting the seed in the ground, and he gets a better crop than they had ever seen before. We might decry the spiritual state of Wisconsin, the spiritual state of America. We might decry how far things have gone and morality has dropped to a level we don't even know what to call it anymore. ABC level or whatever alphabet we put together, levels of shame and degradation in our world today. And people are saying, well, let's just pull back. There's no hope. No. This is the time for the church to demonstrate our God's an amazing God. In a period of fear, in a period of shame, in a period of evil reigning supreme, in a period when unrighteousness seems to be rewarded, this is a time for the church of an almighty God to say, and now watch what God's going to do. It might have been amazing to get a harvest when things were good. Look what God's going to do when things are bad. There's going to be an influx of those who once triumphed in unrighteousness are now going to be a people of God. And furthermore, this crazy farmer was given some kind of shovel, evidently, because wherever his servants put the shovel in the ground, a spring jumped up. In a place where there's no water. In other words, the water table keeps dropping every month, lower and lower and lower. But here this crazy farmer, used to chasing sheep, has a couple of his boys stick a spade in the ground, and there was Dad's old well, it sprung up. There's another one of Dad's old wells, it sprung up. And pretty soon we ran out of Dad's old wells, getting water out of them. Now let's start digging some more wells, and water is just gushing up everywhere. Why? Because God needs to be glorified as we, his people, do his work. That's why Paul is letting them know that he gives you the seed and he gives you the bread. Give us this day our daily bread. That's that request from that prayer that we talked about earlier. Gives us the seed, gives us the daily bread so we can work, and multiplies the seed so there's an even greater harvest of righteousness. Astounding the economics of God. The astounding economics of an almighty God. I give you a little bit. If you promise to use it for seed, I'll even multiply the seed before the harvest. Seed to harvest is already a multiplication. I'm going to multiply the seed while it's still in your seed basket as you're getting ready to toss it. You remember the lady that one day had her kids mortgaged and they were about ready to get repoed by the banker? Her husband was a poor Bible school student that died before his school bill was paid, and Democrats weren't in power to waive off all of the debts. Sorry. Call to the prophet. They're going to come take my boys. My husband and I made a decision to send him to prophet school. He died. Now our sacrifice from yesterday is fruitless. We should not have offered sacrifice for yesterday because we're losing our boys today. And you know what the prophet said. What you got in your house? Couch isn't there. That's already been sold in the yard sale. Mama's flatware's gone. All the cutlery's gone. Table's gone. The boys and I were sleeping on the floor. No more beds. You see what my boys are wearing? That's also their blanket. The only thing I got left is one little bitty cruse with a little bit of oil in it. And you know what the prophet said? Wow, you got the seeds for a revival kicking here. So go to all your neighbors and beg for their jars. Don't ask for anything but empty vessels. And she began pouring oil. You know the story. As long as she had empty vessels, it was filled. She had enough to pay off the debt and to live on for years to come. That's what our God wants to do today. He wants to give us the seed. He wants to give us the bread. And he wants to multiply the seed as we're putting it in the ground. I don't know what the plans are, Brother Portman. We talked a little bit on the phone of the uses of the capital campaign. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare that God's arm is not slack concerning his promises from yesterday. If he could do it for the Corinthian church, take what they had to give and multiply it before it even got into the ground. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I claim that promise right now for Apostolic Faith Church. The seed that you give, God's going to multiply the seed even before it hits the ground. He's going to multiply the seed even before it hits the ground and before the harvest comes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse number 11, being enriched in everything in all bountifulness. Being enriched in everything in all bountifulness. needs for enrichment. I believe this is a place for a prayer break. You see, for us to be able to give, we need to receive an enrichment of the Spirit so that the shame and the doubts and the fears that make us ask the what-if questions, is this necessary? Is it going to be worth it? How is it different than what we've done in the past? Is God really going to? That stuff comes out of hurts in our spirit. Heal us, O Lord. So in a moment, I'm going to pray healing physical pain that's in this room. I'm going to pray healing for emotional distress and spiritual weariness in this room. I'm going to pray healing on relational pain and fractures in families and in workplaces and in neighborhoods. I'm going to pray healing on family finances that are already stretched to the max. Because you see, church, we've got to receive an enrichment in our needs so we can be able to give according to God's good pleasure. I don't mean to embarrass anyone, but how many are in need of a physical touch from the Master tonight? Can I see your hands? Sister Schumacher's another. She's not here tonight. She would be here if at all possible. Lord, right now, in your holy, matchless name, the enemy wants to use our health needs to corrupt our faith. That if God can't heal our bodies, then how can we trust Him to multiply the seed? Right now, in the name of Jesus, we call for a healing touch and a sustaining touch and a strength touch. Pray for a blessing for Sister Schumacher right now at home and other saints of God that couldn't make it this evening due to health concerns. I pray a healing touch, oh Lord. I pray a wave of peace and a wave of a healing touch. And in the house right now, oh Lord, I pray a surrender of these physical needs into your hand. I pray for a supernatural wave of healing in the house right now, oh Lord. Some of those to be instantaneous, and some of those to be played out in the days and weeks to come. We cast these anxieties on you because we care for you. How many are in emotional distress recently or spiritual pain? Can I see the hands? Your fears, anxieties, and emotional toils and darkness. Lord, you see these hands raised right now. It's not your good pleasure that your daughters and your sons live in this emotional pain and distress. Right now, by the stripes, I pray a healing touch. You were abused by others. These are suffering because of abuses around them. I pray in the name of Jesus, by your stripes, let there be a healing touch right now in the name of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that our minds be released from the things that are binding them. I pray that our emotional pain and sorrow be liberated right now in the name of Jesus. Let there be a season of refreshing right now. Let there be a refreshing in the Spirit right now. Let there be a wave of grace felt in the house right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Somebody needs to just raise a hand right now. Say, Lord, I'm open. I'm open. I'm open to that feeling. I'm open to a refreshing, oh Lord. Times of refreshing our mind right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Remember, church, we're praying that His purposes be done. We're praying that we be enriched in everything with bountifulness. You cannot be enriched with bountifulness when your spirit is heavy laden. All you who are weary and heavy laden, cast, come unto me, for I will give you rest. You need rest this night in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I pray that those that are in distress have the best night's sleep that they've had in months this evening. I pray that when they cross the threshold in their house and they say there's only one God as they cross that threshold, I pray that house, that apartment, that trailer be filled with grace and peace in an amazing way, O Lord. I pray in the morning the first thoughts in their mind after the alarm goes off or they wake up spontaneously. I pray, oh Lord, that there be a song of praise. Begin to dance in the Spirit, oh Lord, because of the healing work that you're doing right now. In Jesus' name, let it be, oh Lord. Is anyone experiencing tears in their relationships, families, or work or other forms of relationship tears? Could I see some hands? No shame here. We're bringing these needs to Jesus. He wants to enrich us bountifully in every way. This is a bounty that He wants to do. Sherry and I have a need here as well. We need a healing touch from the Master right now in a relational way with some extended family. In Jesus' name we pray for all of our relational tears. We pray, oh Lord, that reconciliation happen in a way that only can work because your grace is at work. We pray, Lord God, for spiritual wisdom and insight in how we might do these things. We pray for our emotions to be at quiet so that we can hear the pain of others and speak grace and peace into the situation. We pray your blessings on these relational needs. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh Lord, you saw the daddy with his boy at the bottom of the hill after the Mount of Transfiguration, and you did a relational healing there and cast the demon out of that child. I pray in a similar way that there be healing, reconciliation in our families, O Lord, through your kingdom at work even now. Jesus' name. Our offerings, this capital campaign is not buying healing in your family. That's off the record. That's off the table. That is not negotiable. We're not buying anything. We're just saying, Lord, you give us seed, and you multiply the seed, and you give us bread, and then you're going to give us the harvest, and you're going to bless us in every bountiful way. Our offering is a sign that we trust his bounty. We're not hoarding for ourselves. We're opening ourselves for the kingdom to work through us. And since we trust him, we can receive that blessing and bounty in so many ways. And finally, could I see the hands are willing, and again, no shame involved, but if you're in a financial distressed moment, and we've all been there, if there's anybody in a financial distressed moment, job situation, bill that needs to be fixed, or a car that's breaking down, you don't know how to fix it, or a stove that's out, or kids' teeth need to be fixed, well, it doesn't matter. Financial need. Lord, you see your sons and daughters in the house with their hands raised right now. We pray, Lord God, that you bless them and their stewardship and you give them wisdom and the resources and multiply the resources where necessary. We trust you, Heavenly Redeemer. We give you our everything and we seek first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness. And because we're seekers of the kingdom first, you will add these things unto us as necessary. If you care for the sparrows and they're only worth a penny, how much more you care for your brother, your children that are in the house tonight. If you dress the flowers of the field more than Solomon in all of his splendor, how much you are going to clothe us and feed us and house us. We trust you in Jesus' name. 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 Brothers and sisters, that means it's now time for us to give thanks. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the financial repair. We thank you for the relational repair. We thank you for the healing in our emotions. We thank you for physical healing. We thank you for spiritual well-being. We give you glory right now. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let his glory be known. Oh, he is more mighty than my need or my struggle or my difficulty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. As the musicians are coming, as the musicians are coming, let's finish this up. Verse number 13. Verse number 13, what's the result of all of this? While by the experiment of this ministry. They glorified God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, unto all men. And by their prayers for you, which long after you, their prayers, their longing after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Now they were praying and giving to the church in Jerusalem. It was praying for the church in Corinth. We are giving because this church is a sanctuary. This church is a place to equip saints to go out into the harvest field. It's a place to bring in the brokenhearted and the abandoned. It's the place where children are welcome. It's the place where elders that are in wheelchairs, they're welcome too. It's the place for those that are from the so-called wrong side of the track. It's the place for the downtrodden. It's the place for the felon. All belong here. This harvest of this financial campaign, the stewardship campaign. Some folks are praying tonight and they don't even know they're praying. There are husbands and wives around kitchen tables, around Racine and the surrounding counties right now, crying out, what are we going to do? There are families that are crying out, I forgave you before, I don't think I can do it again. Spouse is saying, I promise to be different. The other spouse is saying, you've done that before and nothing's changing. There's the alcoholic that's crying out, a little tired of spending my baby's food money on booze, a little tired of going to the back alley and buying a drug and shooting it up, and I know my family's suffering. I wish this would change. They don't know it, but they're crying out to their Heavenly Father for something that makes a difference. Brothers and sisters, the primary prayers and the beneficiaries of our capital campaign are those people out there in disastrous need. And they are crying out, even they don't know it. They're praying out to an almighty God. And those prayers are, how can things change? And here's the answer. God has Apostolic Faith Church in place for such a time as this. The kingdom is here for such a time as this. And this is going to lead to the doxology, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gifts. I know that you're going to bring your pledge cards next week, but I'm wondering if you have a heart that's open to the leading of the Spirit, would you come and stand at this altar now? Lord, you've been so good to me. Oh, Lord, I'm humbled that I get to be a part of. Just come and stand. I'm humbled that I get to be a part of your reclamation project changing the world. I'm humbled that somebody that's broken at home under drugs is crying out, I want to be different. I'm humbled that I get to be a part of your reclamation plan. I'm humbled, oh Lord, that after you've been so good to me, now I get a chance to be a part of what you're doing in the wider Racine area to bring a harvest in this season. So, oh Lord, this night you've been so good to us, and you've blessed us far more than what we deserve, and it all belongs to you. But right now we pledge, O Lord, that our mind and our spirit, our emotions are open to your purposes and your design. Lord Jesus, I pray a wave of spiritual insight on this congregation right now. I pray strategic prayer right now, O Lord, and everyone that's gathered around this altar with me, we say, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Start it in me, O Lord God. Let there be a dream well up inside of my spirit. Oh, Lord, let there be a curiosity in my spirit, a wondering of how I can participate in your kingdom work in this hour through this capital campaign. A wondering in a moment, Lord, what in the world are you going to do in these next 3 years? What transformation are you going to bring? What leaders are you going to bring in? What backsliders are coming home? What new fields are going to open, oh Lord, because of what seed is being placed in our hands right now? Lord Jesus, I pray a blessing on this congregation right now. First of all, I pray a blessing of thanksgiving. Lord, this passage says that the leaders help the church be thankful. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray my message has called us to a spirit of gratitude. You've been so good to us. I pray a blessing of thanksgiving on this congregation right now. Our world is teaching us that we don't have enough, but right now we receive a blessing of thanksgiving. We receive a blessing of gratitude. We receive a blessing of healing, oh Lord, where we're not covetous of others. Instead, we are so thankful for what you've given us. The first blessing right now is a blessing of thanksgiving. Bless us now with gratitude and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. The next blessing is the blessing of awe. Lord, we are in awe of what you want to do in Racine and surrounding community in the coming months and years. We are in awe of the outpouring of your Spirit. We're in awe, oh Lord, of your miraculous touch. We're in awe, oh Lord, of the next person that receives the Spirit and the next person baptized in your name. We are in awe right now. Right now I pray a blessing of awe, inspiration, a vision that God wants to do amazing things in the weeks to come. I pray a blessing of awe right now on this congregation. I pray eyes that are lifted up. I pray the weary head be healed and lift up and say, Lord, I see amazing things in the future in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The third blessing I pray is a blessing of counting the seeds, measuring the seed. Oh Lord, I pray a blessing of measuring the seed on this congregation. I pray that throughout this week in seasons of prayer and studying your word, I pray, Lord, that there be an inbreaking of your Spirit every single day this week on my brothers and sisters. An inbreaking of the Spirit that says, oh God, this is what the measuring cup you want me to use. Oh Lord, I will do so a measure of faith. And with joy, I will use that measuring cup, oh Lord, because you've been so good to me. I desire, oh Lord, to bring this gift next week. I desire to rejoice in this. I have no guilt and I have no shame. It's just with joy. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, oh Lord, now I lift up this congregation. I lift them up as a worthy worship to you. Lift them up as reasonable sacrifice to you, as the apostles said. And lifting them up as worthy worship even now, Lord Jesus. You see their heart. You see their hunger. You see their love for you. You see their gratitude for you. I pray, Lord God, that you receive their worship, words of their mouth and their meditation of their heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord. This I pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.